Mountain Gap Church welcomes you to join us as we share this kingdom message of hope, featuring our pastor, Rick Womack.
How's this going to happen? Well, He's the Lord of all the earth. That's how it's going to happen. Why do I have to figure out? All I have to do is when He says, put your foot in, I got to put my foot in. And when He says, step out in obedience, I just got to step out in obedience. And He may be calling you. In fact, I know He's calling us to step out in obedience. And we got to stop sitting, because we can't be stepping if we're sitting. Yesterday, I was at the airport very early in Oklahoma City coming home. Will Rogers, they call it Will Rogers World Airport. It's not quite international, but anyways. So I'm at Will Rogers, and it's a great airport. Regional, small airports are great like that. And I'm watching, and there's a, I don't know if she's a single mom, but there's a mom with two kids, two boys, and an older son and a younger son. And so, you know, you got to go through screening now. Well, first thing I noticed is, and I've been thinking about this week, all week, barriers. I've been thinking about barriers. I'm in this series called This Is My Story. So this week I actually want to talk about the barriers that we face in our story. And so I'm standing there, and she's ahead of me a few people, and she's got this little guy. He's probably three. She's got another son. He's probably six or seven. And she's trying to coax the little guy through the TSA. They're just doing the metal detector on these guys. And he just wants no part of it. He's just like hanging on the mom's leg, you know. She's like, come on. And the TSA agent, anyways, the TSA agent's over there trying to coax them. Not all the TSA agents are necessarily the ones that you want to be coaxing you, but that's been my experience. But they're trying to coax, and so finally, it dawns. Send the older brother through first. So the older brother goes through, no problem. So the younger brother's like, oh, well, I got this. He's going through as fast as he can. And I thought, how many times are we like that? The Holy Spirit spoke to me in that moment. He said, how many times are you like that, Rick? How many times are we like that? We see a barrier. We see something foreign to us. We see something that looks different. And we don't want to go there. I don't know about that. That's different. I'm afraid of that. And all the while, all we have to realize is that when God is calling us, our other older brother has already gone through it. You know what I'm talking about, right? Jesus has already gone there, and we're sitting here shirking back and hiding away because we don't want to go to some place because it looks foreign and it looks like I've never been here before. So it was a neat airport story. I didn't lead anybody to the Lord. I know everybody likes those airport stories, those airplane stories when they lead them to the Lord. Look, my full-blown introvert kicks in when I get on an airplane. Okay. And so, actually I used that. It was a very beneficial time to work on my sermon today. I was in Oklahoma City with some other leaders from really around the world, Bishop Tony Miller's church. And somebody asked me, are you just going to unload it all this morning? No, I'm not. I've actually put myself on a timer this morning because I want to pace this thing out, okay? So this morning I want to talk about barriers. And a couple of things about barriers. We all face barriers. Maybe you'll just say, you know what, Pastor Rick, I'm facing a barrier right now. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because nobody wants to. But there are some good barriers. There are some beneficial barriers, and then there are some bad barriers. Let me get my alliteration on. There are some beneficial barriers, and then there are some bad barriers. What are some of the beneficial barriers that we come across in life? Well, when I'm driving through West Virginia, in the back roads of West Virginia or North Carolina through the mountains, I'm personally thankful for those guardrails that they put up. You know that barrier? That's a good barrier. Am I right? A riverbank is really a good barrier. We need the banks of a river because if we don't, we end up with what? A flood. So riverbanks, there's a barrier on the side of a riverbank that keeps the river channeled and flowing in the right direction. And then as much as I typically go and pick up my daughter from school every day, and they've got these three speed bumps, and they're angled like this. I mean, how many of my moms and everybody knows what it feels like going over those? And so as much as I can't stand those barriers, they're there for a good reason. They're there. They're beneficial barriers because they slow me down and they attempt to slow most of the high schoolers down when they're leaving in the afternoon or not. But they're there for a good reason. So we have these barriers, and then we have some different barriers, you know, some bad barriers. If you want to go to London, England, but you're afraid of flying or boats, you have a bad barrier in front of you. It's called the Atlantic Ocean, right? If you want to go to Tybee Island and cross over the bridge to get to the island, but you suffer from, let's see if I can say it, gyrophobia, which is the fear of bridges, then you've got a bad barrier. So barriers can often be geographic, but here's the deal, folks, and I want you to get this. Barriers can also be mental. Sometimes the barriers that we face are the things that are between these two big old ears of Rick's right here. Sometimes my biggest barriers are right here. The geographic location of them is right here. It rests right here. And now, in case I've lost you, let me help you. Some of your biggest barriers are located between my ears, no, your ears as well. That's why Paul says in Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you're saved, your mind isn't saved. You understand that? When you're saved, you're going to heaven. Yeah, that's good, but you still got some work to do. You got to have your mind transformed because there are some barriers, there are some things that need to be broken down and broken off of your thinking so that you can be transformed into the image of Christ. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will. Only by the transforming of your mind can you tell what God's will is. If your thinking is stinking, it's going to be hard to tell what God's will is. So we have these barriers that we face. We face them because we live in a fallen world. I want to play a video in just a moment. Let me see if I get it on the right slide. Are we ready back there? Okay. I'm going to tell you when to start it, and then you just start it, and maybe I can operate it from this later. But I want to read the song lyrics. This is by an artist. His name is Colton Dixon. I actually showed this to the youth a few months ago when I was speaking in the youth group one night. And the song is called Through It All. In case you don't know who Colton is, Colton is he's got a different kind of haircut. Okay, I'm just going to tell you, he's got a mohawk. He actually appeared on American Idol at the age of 19. Made the live shows. I don't know how far he went, but was very successful. And when he came off of the show, all of Hollywood came knocking. And there's another 5-minute video. I'm not going to show it this morning. You can go out there and find it on YouTube. There's another 5-minute video where his mother talks about how she was losing her son because Hollywood was coming knocking. And he did great on American Idol. And he born and raised a believer. And it's a really powerful video from a mother's standpoint because you can hear the brokenness in the mother's life of how she was just really praying and crying out. But this video we're going to watch, this is still in the stream of This Is My Story. You're going to hear 7 different stories. You're going to hear from a girl who suffered from an eating disorder. You're going to hear from a girl who was sold by her mother into the sex trade. You're going to hear a story of a guy who was a cop who wrestled with the call of God on whether or not he should be a cop or a youth pastor or be in ministry, I think. And there's a few other stories that you're going to hear. But I want to read the lyrics in case the lyrics, you lose part of it. But I want you to hear this. It starts out, it says, there are days I've taken more than I can give. And there are choices that I made that I wouldn't make again. I think we could all say that. I've had my share of laughter, of tears, and troubled times. This has been the story of my life. I've won and I've lost. I got it right sometimes and sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy and I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been the God, been my God through all of it. You were there when it all came down on me, when I was blinded by my fear and I struggled to believe. But in those unclear moments, you were the one keeping me strong. This is how my story is always gone. I've won and I've lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey. I've seen joy and I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it. And the bridge goes like this. It says, and this is who you are, more constant than the stars up in the sky. All these years of our lives, I look back and I see you right now. I still do. And I am always going to. Let's watch this together.
Elliot's my fourth child. Basically, when they pulled Elliot out, they knew right away that something wasn't right with him.
I was working with troubled teens in a halfway house. I'd always wanted to be a pastor, but I'd always wanted to be a cop. That following spring, I was officer of the year in 2002.
There was a tumor in my brain. What 21-year-old wants to hear they have cancer?
15 or 16, I started struggling with an eating disorder.
It was my 12th birthday. I was turning 12. None of us heard the gunshot. We just heard my mom screaming.
I was sold into sex trafficking by my mother. I was 12.
They covered me with plastic, pronounced me dead. People meet me and they would never know all the things that I've been through.
I would overexercise, get meals, trying to keep the shell pretty. I still ran track, and every race I lost was because I wasn't skinny enough. I had that approval addiction. It took control of me.
There are days of taking more than I can give. And there are choices that I made that I wouldn't make again.
My parents had planned an intervention for me, and my family, now they're telling me that I'm hurting them. That started a turning point.
I had my share of laughter, of tears and troubled times. This has been the story of my life. I have won and I have lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not.
All of the lies that I had been speaking over myself and all of the pain from my past replaced with who I am in Christ.
Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it.
This particular pastor called and he says, we've gotten these two young men who broke into a bunch of cars. We just need you to come and pick them up.
You were there when it all came down on me.
The two young men conspired to kill me. Throw me out in the woods somewhere and take off with my car and run. So I jumped on the hood, put my gun right up against the glass and said, don't do it. It took off with me on the hood of the car. When I jumped off of the hood, I hit the back of my head, which immediately busted both my inner ears.
In those unclear moments, you were the one keeping me strong. This is how my story's always gone. I won.
I had severe vertigo.
I won.
Panic attacks, PTSD.
I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not.
Everything that I had ever taken pride in, my strength, my abilities, all of that was gone.
Life's been a journey. I've seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, and you have been my God through all of it.
It was a really, really rough labor. He had a 9x6 centimeter cyst in the center of his brain. His head was extra large. We don't know if he'll talk. We don't know if he'll walk. My heart sunk. I had no idea that he would end up having 8 surgeries that year.
He hit me head on at 80 miles per hour. When the police got there, I was pronounced dead without a pulse for almost an hour. When they pulled the car from me, I took a gasp. I started breathing again. When I left the hospital, I was told that I'd never be able to have children, and they're not sure if I'd be able to walk again.
I was trapped in a house with a man who abused me for 6 months.
I walked in and he was just on the floor. I just think it's crazy walking in on your stepfather shooting himself at 12 on your birthday.
to realize that I may never perform music again, I was almost more sad about that than having cancer itself.
And this is who you are, more constant than the stars up in the sky, all these years of our lives. I look back and I see you, right now I still do, I'm always going to.
I changed my attitude. I said, I'm going to give this to God and I'm going to allow people into my life to help me. I can't do this alone.
I believe that God is a great physician. Even when I said I'd never have children again, I just didn't believe it. I'm walking, I'm running, and I have a child.
I've won, I've lost. I got it right sometimes, but sometimes I did not. Life's been a journey, seen joy, I've seen regret. Oh, you have been my God through all the days.
I know that that has to be because God is with me.
There's no way I could have got through all this just by myself.
I knew he was there, and as he rebuilt me, I regained all that I had lost without the arrogance.
I see how his hand has shielded me, and there's a purpose in that. Every day I'm living out that purpose.
Everyone been through difficult time. I can do anything through Christ who strengthened me.
He's alive. Anyone who sees him thinks he's a miracle.
Free and half.
In every situation, there can be joy, there can be life. What I thought was a death sentence turned into be my story and my life. I've battled cancer 4 times. If I trust in him, I can do anything.
Powerful stories, aren't they? Twelve years old and walking in on your stepfather committing suicide. 12 years old and your mother selling you into sex trafficking. Being pronounced dead and lying in the plastic for about an hour. And they pull it back, and she breathes. I don't know how old the last guy was, probably mid-20s, guessing. Battled cancer 4 times. And he says, if I can trust God, I can make it through anything. That's our story, folks. When we face a barrier, we have a decision to make. We have a decision to make of how we're going to face that barrier. We respond in a lot of different ways to barriers. Some of us give up. They just let the barrier dominate. Some of us just give out. I can't do it. I just can't do it. I can't do it. I don't have the strength. I don't have the energy. Some of us get mad. We get mad because the barrier's there and we're facing something that we didn't expect. How will you respond to the barrier? Stand with me. We're going to look at Joshua chapter 1 for a moment. I'll have it on the screens for you. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, I've come back to this passage so many times. I know you've heard it before. I almost came back to it the night of hope recently, but I actually want to go here and then in chapter 3, but Moses, my servant, is dead. The Lord said that to Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, Moses, my servant is dead. You see right there in the middle of the screen, Moses, my servant is dead. He's dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Everybody say, I have given you.
I have given you.
Just as I promised to Moses, I have given you. I have given you. You currently possess it. I've touched on this before. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites to the great sea. toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you. Everybody say, no man. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses. Let me remind you of something God is saying to Joshua. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause the people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. His promise is sure. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we have an example from the Word who faced barriers, and that, Lord, we can learn from it. And I pray that today, God, we will take something away that will help us in our present season, in the season that we're coming out of, and the season we're going into, to be an overcomer, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Joshua chapter 3, I'm going to put it on the screen. I didn't want to have you stand too long. But Joshua chapter 3, we're going to fast forward in the story a little bit. Then Joshua rose early, actually chapter 3 and 4, you can go back and read it together. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people. As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it, yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Let me go back and recap on something. As soon as you see the Ark of the Lord of the Covenant, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, then you shall set out, yet there shall be. Do not come near it in order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. And then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And so they took up the Ark of the Covenant, and they went before the people. And the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. The priests shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here. There it is again. Sorry, cut and paste. Did a terrible job there. Next sentence. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and the Jebusites. So there you see the story. Joshua is standing at the Jordan, and the Jordan seems insurmountable. The Israelites are facing a barrier. Verse 13, I did not read it, says, as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. As soon as they step foot. I am convinced that most of our lives, we plan our lives with a plan A, and we don't really think about plan B. But I want to suggest to us this morning that God's plan may actually be plan B. Too often we get wrapped up in plan A because plan A is what we conceived, right? Going back to this thing right here, stuck between these 2 ears. Sometimes my best plans have been God's worst plans, or at least in my opinion. Because I thought it was pretty good. God, you could have done it this way. It'd have been great. We'd have been moved on down the road from here, right? But oftentimes, when we are planning plan A, and we're still seeking the Lord perhaps, we're planning it, but God has a plan B. There's a simple way to cross over the Jordan. Just cross. Because there are certain times of the year where it's just a little trickle running through. Just cross it during that time. That's all you got to do. But no, God's got to go put on a big show, and he does. Because the time that they crossed is during the harvest, when the flood waters, when the river's banks are pushing outward, when there's a lot of water. And in verse 13, I didn't put it on the screen, but we noticed a couple of things from that. I'll read it again. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, And so many times we miss this fact that it's God who's calling the shots. How is this going to happen? Well, He's the Lord of all the earth. That's how it's going to happen. Why do I have to figure out? All I have to do is when He says, put your foot in, I got to put my foot in. And when He says, step out in obedience, I just got to step out in obedience. And He may be calling you. In fact, I know He's calling us to step out in obedience. And we got to stop sitting because we can't be stepping if we're sitting. So how do we move from this place where we are to there? How do we cross this Jordan? We'll talk about that. How do you cross a barrier? The second thing in that verse 13 I touched on, and I just never really thought about it until yesterday on the plane, and I was thinking about when they stepped, watch this. Y'all know the rivers run, a river runs, right? You know, there's a flow to it. There's a geography. There's a current to a river. Anybody ever gone swimming in a river? How many of y'all been baptized in a river? There we go. I knew there were some folks. My wife's back there. She was baptized in a river too. I was baptized in the Jordan the second time. What's that? Or a creek. That'll work too. There we go. So we got creeks and we got rivers and we got current and we got flow. But when they step, that current stops and they step, and the Bible says that they stepped on dry ground. What never really, and what we see a lot of times in the Bible stories is we see the water kind of well up on both sides, right? But it dawned on me, that's probably not what happened. Because when they stepped, that was going downhill went on downhill. Right? And that was over here, Scripture says it began to heap up. And I thought to myself, how many times is that us? We step into the promise that God wants us to step into, and what we do is we pause for a moment and we take a little, let me just analyze the situation here. That's going down there. Thank you, Lord. Things are so much easier now. I'm so glad I walked out in obedience. The water's going downhill. I'm not afraid anymore. Look at it. Bye-bye, water. Everybody say, bye-bye, water. Bye-bye. It's gone. I don't have to worry anymore. I'm not going to get washed away. Oh my goodness. Look at the water heaping up in front of me. And we step into the plan of God, and instead of stepping, we stop. And there's only a one letter difference. And when we stop, we lose perspective of our destination. The only ones who were supposed to stop were the priests. The country was supposed to move through. They were supposed to move on through. But can you imagine, you and I, because I probably am prone to do this, and perhaps two or three of you are as well, when I'm stepping out in obedience and I see God taking me to this place and I step out and God, I'm here. He did it. He stopped the water. I'm just going to stay here and enjoy the moment. Woo! Hallelujah! I am screaming. Y'all still quiet. I know I'm just goofing. Look at all that water. Look at all my problems. Just flow away. Isn't it so good out here in the Jordan? I'm going to get me a camp chair. Just going to enjoy the middle of the Jordan. Sit down in my camp chair. Probably might get me a reclining camp chair. And I step into the place where God wants me to step, or we do this, and instead of stepping forward and in continuing to move forward, what we do is we don't step, we stop. And when we stop, we take a survey, and then we see, oh, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah, everything's going away. For a moment, until we turn around and we see what's there before us, and the waters are continuing to heap up, and God is doing a miracle in our life. But here's the deal. There's still others behind us that need to step too. They need to walk out in the Jordan as well. But if I'm standing here and I'm holding up the traffic, I'm holding people back. Y'all getting anything out of this morning? Because here's the deal. There's somebody behind you that needs to step into the promise. But if you pause in the Jordan, you're going to hold them up. We can't pause in the Jordan. Yes, God is calling us. God is calling some of you to step out in faith. And when you step out in faith, don't stop. Keep stepping. Because if you stop, you're going to take a survey and you're going to get a little bit freaked out. That's Greek for amazed and concerned. And petrified. So we get stuck. I don't know. Maybe I'm preaching this for me this morning. I really felt like, honestly, I was thinking about this morning, this sermon this morning, I was like, you know what? This may just be for me, because even in my own life, I'm overcoming barriers. And I hope you are. Let me kick into, no, I don't have to kick into it. Let me just express my heart. My heart is that you are seeing barriers. I prayed it. You know, we're either in a season, we just came out of season, or we're going into a season. That's our life. Okay? And we're all in different seasons. The song says, life's been a journey. I've seen joy and I've seen regret. Those are seasons. I've seen the season of joy. Everybody's face in here lit up when that little 3.5-year-old went, 3.5. It's a season of joy. And everybody's heart probably in here plummeted when you heard the young man say that on his 12th birthday, his stepfather committed suicide. In front of him. There he lie. So how do you cross a barrier? I got three things for you. Number one, you follow. Verse 3. As soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and you shall follow it. The first thing, this is really simple. This is simple preaching, okay? Anybody in here could preach what I'm getting ready to preach. Anybody want to? I got notes. It's easy. It's easy. Verse 3, set out and follow. Set out and follow. Not sit back and follow. It says set out. The Message translation, I like what it says. It says start moving. So when you face a barrier, start moving. Set out and follow. Follow who? Follow the Lord. Follow the box of wood. That box of wood that's got the Ten Commandments on stone inside of it. It's overlaid with gold. That Ark of the Covenant. Follow the presence of the Lord. That represented the presence of the Lord. So who are you supposed to follow? Follow the presence of the Lord. That's why I believe the Lord was saying this morning for us, we need to be a people of the Spirit who walk in the Spirit. Because as we walk in the Spirit of God, the kingdom of God is going with us. And as we're walking, we're following Him. Second thing, we need to fear. Verse 4, yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it. Everybody say, do not come near it. In order that you may know the way you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. You just think you've been here. And too many times we do that. We pull up archive and we say, you know what? I remember when I faced this before. I remember when I met this barrier before. I remember when I met this obstacle before. I remember when I got this report from the doctor before. I remember what Aunt Jemima said about what the doctor said about the report from the doctor. I don't even know if that made sense. I remember, and what we do is we pull up the archive file and we say, well, God, you must have moved that way. You'll do it again. But scripture in verse 4 says, you've not passed this way before. You don't know. You just think you know. But you don't know. Don't come near it. Don't get so familiar with God's presence and His glory that you take it for granted. You're supposed to follow the Ark of the Covenant. You're supposed to follow, but I'm also supposed to fear. Have a holy reverence. God, you're leading me. I've not been this way before. This is different than what I thought. I've never seen this barrier before. I've never seen this obstacle before. But I'm trusting you. The third thing is this. You have to prepare. Verse 5, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. What does consecrate mean? It means to set apart for divine purposes. So what would they go through? What would it look like for the Israelites to go through a consecration process? Would there be certain foods that they would abstain from? There would be sexual activity that they would abstain from. There would be the purification or the washings, the ritual washings that they would go through to prepare their lives to follow. Now, that just sounds really foreign to everybody, because we don't do washings and we don't talk about sex in church. And we all love to eat. And nobody preaches on gluttony anymore, right? But I want you to make it personal for a moment. I want to ask you to make this personal. If you're facing a barrier, what are you willing to step away from in the areas of comfort, that's food, and in the areas of intimacy? What are you willing to step away from in those places that bring you pleasure and me pleasure? What are you willing to step away from just so I can get through this barrier? And the Israelites understood something. They understood that if we're going to consecrate ourselves, we just can't wake up 30 minutes later and think it's going to be like Saturday morning. They understood that there was a sacrifice and there was a process that they had to go through to prepare themselves to follow. And when you and I face barriers in our life, too often the way we treat it is we just treat it ho-hum. I so appreciate Deborah sharing her testimony this morning. It encouraged me greatly. Because she said that the doctors were telling her, try this, we'll try that, we'll try, and I'm not against doctors. But at some point she reached a point in her life where she said, you know what, God, I'm just going to give my body to you. And when I released myself into your hands, God, then you brought breakthrough. So how do you cross the barrier? Number one, follow the presence of the Lord. Number two, don't follow him so closely that you don't understand that you need to have a holy reverence and a fear. And number three, get yourself ready. How many of you have heard the old adage, if you do what you've always done before, you'll get what you've always got before? Is that right? Maybe it's time to do something different. Maybe it's time to do something different. Maybe it's time to change. We don't like, you know what, actually that's not true. We all like change. We don't like the process of it. We don't like the process because the process is when it gets personal. It's when it starts taking me away. We like the results of change, right? How many of you in here would like to see your pastor lose 30 pounds? I know my wife and I are the only two. Okay? Well, let me just tell you, your pastor would love to do that. I would love the change. I would love it on the other side of the equation. But getting through that process, that's not fun. Right? It's not fun. Because the transition is hard. And so when you and I are facing a barrier, when we show up and there's a barrier and I can't get through that barrier, how am I going to get over that barrier? I'm just going to keep walking straight ahead because that's what I do every day of my life. Nothing ever changes and I'll never get through the barrier because I'm doing the same thing over and over. Maybe what I need to do is I need to step back, follow the presence of the Lord. What are you saying to me, God? And don't let me take it for granted that I absolutely am doing this on my own. I want to fear you in such a way, God, that you're speaking to me. And when you speak, I'm like the prophet Isaiah. Woe is me, for I have unclean lips. I don't want to take this lightly, God. And then when you call me, God, you're calling me to get through this barrier. You're calling me to get through this barrier, and your solution is better than my idea. Let me say that again because somebody needs to hear it. His solution is better than your idea. His solution is better than your idea. So what do we take away from it when we get through the barrier? Real quickly, Tyler, can you come up? Why do you need to cross the barrier? Let me give you three reasons. Number one, you need to find out which way to go. You just need to find out which way to go. Where does that come from, Rick? Verse 4. Do not come near it. There shall be a distance between you 2,000 cubits. Do not come near it in order that you may know. How many of you just want to know? I want to know. In order that you may know the way you shall go. Why do you need to cross the barrier? Because you need to know the direction that God wants to put you in. In order that you may know. We got a whole lot of ignorant Christians. What does that mean, Rick? Are you putting people down? No, I'm just saying they don't know. That's what that is. That's the definition. They don't know. And when they don't know, they just wander around aimlessly. What is it, Lord? What is it, Lord? The direction that you're calling me to, what is it you want me to go? What is the direction you're calling me? What is the way in which I'm supposed to go? Follow fear, prepare. Why? So that you can know which way to go. Number two, so that you can learn that God is present and that God promotes. Where do you see that, Rick? Verse 7. The Lord said to Joshua, Today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel. That sounds like a promotion. And this is not about job promotion. This is really about the Lord being promoted. You don't need another promotion. He needs to be promoted in your life. I'm not knocking anybody that's gotten a promotion recently, but hear my heart in that. He needs to be the one you're going after the promotion for. God, I just want to decrease so that you can increase. We get that one backwards. He needs to increase so that I can decrease. When he increases, then I can decrease. Otherwise, I'm just trying to do it all on my own. Number three. So you can galvanize the fact that God is for you. I didn't finish number two. I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. God is present. So when you're facing a barrier in your life, you got to understand there's a reason for it. Number one, God wants to be promoted. The life of Christ in you. And he wants to remind you of something. He's present with you. Number three, galvanize the fact that God is with you. Verse 10, Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you and that he without fail will drive out from before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Girgashites, Jebusites, Amorites, and Hivites. Without fail, you will know that God is for you. Will you stand together this morning? I want to pray for you quickly. Thank you for this word. And Lord, thank you for the life of Joshua. Thank you for a life dialed in to the presence of the Lord, surrendered, and a life that we can learn from, God. And Father, thank you that this morning, every barrier that's not of you is broken in Jesus' name because we are overcomers through Christ our Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that we will be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that we will be the hands and feet, that we will be the kingdom carriers as we move forward. And the Father, as we leave this place today, every barrier that we face, God, thank you that you've prepared us to overcome in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Joining us today, Mountain Gap Church offers our community Sunday worship and Wednesday night teaching and discipleship classes. If you would like further information on times and location, you may find us online at mountaingap.org.